The first reading for our celebration of Reformation Sunday comes from the Revelation of St. John, the 14th chapter. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord. Great is the Lord and great is
the Savior of our God.
Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers. That you may tell the next generation The epistle reading comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 3rd chapter. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes to us according to St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Grace to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Luke, Peter, True, Joellen, I don't envy you. Not because you're sitting in front of the church in robes today feeling kind of conspicuous. I've gotten used to that. But I don't envy you because of the world that you're growing up in. Today you will stand before this congregation and before God himself, and you will vow to suffer all things, even death, rather than fall away from the Christian faith. And as we look at the wickedness of this world, as we see the Christian faith ridiculed and mocked and belittled at every turn, as we see more and more Christians facing legal attacks, social canceling, even physical harm and death for their faith, the sad fact is that you may well be called upon to fulfill that vow and suffer many things for the sake of Jesus Christ. You will be tempted to set aside your faith. You will be tempted to think that church isn't worth it, that you're better off sleeping in on Sundays, not drawing fire from the world, just going with the flow. You will be tempted to turn away from all the things you have studied in our catechism classes over the last few years and instead take the easy route of the world. You will face these temptations and so many more in a culture that seems to be running headlong into the devil's arms, which is why I do not envy you. But through it all, know this: you are not facing these temptations on your own. You are not relying on your own strength, because that will fail you. Instead, rely upon the holy, infallible, unchanging, eternal Word of God, because it and it alone will never fail you. In our gospel reading today, Jesus makes a very bold statement. He says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, when we think of freedom, we often think of no rules, no wrong, no boundaries, no constraint, no conscience, nobody telling us what to do and not to do, nobody cramping our style, just doing whatever comes naturally and enjoying every minute of it. The world tells us this is what will set you free. Live for yourself. Experience every pleasure. Put aside the stuffy rules and constraints of our culture and certainly of that Christian faith. You be you and don't let anyone tell you what to do. That's what the world tells us to do. And let's face it, our own sinful desires, they shout their wild approval. We want to live without constraint. We want to live in anarchy. We want no rules at all, just doing what we want to do. In fact, we've gone so far as to believe that there is really no such thing as truth. Everything is relative and personal and subjective. What's true for me may not be true for you. And there is no absolute truth established by anyone outside of us because we are our own gods. We determine what is true and what is not. And if we want it to be true, then it is true. And if we don't like it, then clearly that is not true for us. Even the notion of true and false, right and wrong, we see as this unnecessary constraint that we need to set ourselves free from. And that is where true freedom lies. Doing whatever you want, whenever you want, no matter what. But the truth is, that leads only to chaos and pain and suffering. That leads only to addiction because you will never satisfy every one of your urges. And it will always take more and more and more. And you are not in freedom whatsoever. You are enslaved to sin, to pleasure, to yourself. The truth is, there is truth. And there is only one truth, the truth of Jesus Christ. He is God, the creator and sustainer of all things. He establishes truth by speaking it. He has set the boundaries, and no matter how much we complain or claim that we can change them, they are fixed and they are firm. He tells us the truth that he has established in his holy and infallible word, the Bible. And by that word, we hear the truth that our sinful nature does not want to hear. The truth is, you are a sinner. You have transgressed God's holy laws. You have stepped across the boundaries that he has laid out for your protection, and you have done wrong. The truth is, because of that sin, you deserve punishment, eternal wrath, and hell. The truth is, there is no work that you can perform. There is no penance that you can pay. There is nothing at all that you can do to save yourself from God's righteous wrath and condemnation. That's the truth that the Bible proclaims to each and every one of us. We are sinners who stand condemned before God's holy judgment, and we deserve only his eternal wrath. And if that's where the truth stops, how could we possibly say that that truth sets anyone free? Because that is a truth that crushes us, that breaks our heart, that leaves us with no hope whatsoever. But that is not where God's truth stops. That is the absolute truth, and there is no denying it. There is no getting around it. The truth is, we are sinners, as God's law proclaims. But God's truth is far more than just his holy, righteous law. It is also his glorious gospel. As we celebrate Reformation Day today, We celebrate that Dr. Martin Luther and so many other brave, faithful reformers risked so much to bring that truth back to the church. For generations, that truth had been hidden, buried under years and years of false teachings. Teachings that probably started out with good intentions to lead people to live a pious and godly life. But we all know where good intentions lead. Soon the church was no longer the place to hear that Jesus was your Savior, but rather the church had become the boogeyman who watched over you to catch you in every single misstep. Sinful priests and bishops and cardinals and popes used God's law as a stick, using the church for their own greedy and sinful desires. The law of God was no longer seen as gracious boundaries laid out in love by our Heavenly Father for our protection, but rather it had become a huge money-making machine, used to scare Christians into giving all their money to the church. You had to atone for your sins, preferably with cash and lots of it. You had to pay for your own penalties and those of your ancestors as well. You were responsible for your own salvation, and you had to do all the works that the church told you to do, or you would face the fires of purgatory or even hell itself. That's the false truth that Martin Luther grew up with, and it nearly killed him. He writes how the expectations of the law, the way the church used it to only bring about guilt in the faithful, how it broke him. As a monk who had devoted his life to service in the church, Luther knew the Word of God, and he knew that it was steadfast and infallible, and he knew that it convicted him of his sin. And that's all that he had heard from the church. And so Luther writes that he did not love, but rather he hated God for his demands of perfection, because Luther knew he could never do it well enough. But then, by grace alone, Martin Luther saw the real truth of Scripture, the full truth. It was not just God's law, but rather the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And once he was shown that truth, once God had opened his eyes to that glorious, unending truth, he could not keep silent. He could not keep it to himself. But he shared it with his friends, with his family, with his students, with strangers, with enemies, proclaiming to the whole world the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wrote prolifically about it so that all people could know the truth all throughout the world. And still to this day, we celebrate the scriptural truth that Martin Luther and the Reformers brought back into the Christian church, that they opened their eyes to, that we have seen revealed by the love of Jesus Christ. The truth is that God loves you enough to die for you. The truth is that God has paid your penalty in full with his precious blood, sacrificing his eternal life to cleanse you of your sin. The truth is that there is nothing left for you to atone for, because you have been washed clean by the waters of baptism. You have been dressed in his robe of righteousness. Your sin has been removed from you as far as the east is from the west. The truth is that you are saved by grace alone, through Christian faith alone, as revealed in Scripture alone. This is the truth, the full truth of Scripture, and the truth truly does set you free. You are set free from doubt, because you don't have to figure out what you have to do to get into heaven. It is a free gift given to you by faith. You are set free from your works, because God has made it clear that it is not your devotion, your desire, your feelings, your commitment, your acceptance, or anything of yours that saves you. It is what he has done for you and the faith that he has worked in your heart. You are set free from spending your life trying to win the approval of the world, because it is temporary, and you have the approval of Almighty and Eternal God. You are his child, and he has given you his heavenly kingdom. You are set free from your enslavement to sin, no longer only following your own selfish, animalistic, sinful desires, but living the better life laid out for you by God's gracious and loving law. But most importantly, you are set free from your eternal enemies, the ones you could never defeat on your own. You are set free from sin, death, and the devil. Jesus Christ has suffered and died for you to forgive you of your sin. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead for you to give you not just hope, but the absolute guarantee of everlasting life in heaven. Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven to prepare a place for you, and He Himself will come again to carry you in His arms to be with Him forever. Despite the fact that you are by nature sinful and unclean, blind, dead, and an enemy of God, Jesus Christ, God the Son, has suffered, died, and rose again to set you free. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Free to turn your back on the wicked ways of the world that promise so much freedom and pleasure and joy, but deliver only emptiness, loneliness, pain, heartache, sorrow, and enslavement as you need more and more to satisfy your lusts. Free to share the good news of Jesus Christ with all those around you so that they too can have the peace and joy that you have. Free to come before your Heavenly Father at any time in prayer, to come to His altar in baptismal grace and receive His true body and blood for the forgiveness of sins, strengthening of faith, and guarantee of life everlasting. Free to joyfully live by His holy word, knowing that you do not do so to earn heaven, but because through His word, both law and gospel, He daily and richly blesses you in so, so many ways. Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Dear confirmants and all my brothers and sisters in Christ, never stop hungering for God's holy word. For it and it alone is truth, and it alone can set you free. Not free to live a life of debauchery and licentiousness, because that's not freedom at all. That's slavery to your base animal desires, slavery to your sinful nature. But the truth of Jesus Christ, it brings about real joy, real freedom. And if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. For by His cross alone, by His empty tomb alone, by grace alone, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. Thanks be to God. Amen.